Hallo, Manjamsa. Umkakaza unjani?
Molo nje siphila khona ndodade ninjani na?
Siyaphila nathi kabikhona.
Cha.
Any apologies?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I've got an apology from Minister Uza Wamba early, Chair. Uza Wamba meeting in early. And then UDM Kappa is going to join the meeting a little bit later. And then Mamum Papama is attending two prior party political events. And Mamu Mahlat is attending the PC on higher education. Thank you, Chair. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Mamu Nyamza.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. And good morning, colleagues. No further apologies, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oleni Mphathiswa.
Molo sihlalo kunjani?
Siyaphila bamthethiza kabe khonto.
Hayi kuhle thina sigijinyiswa sesi sifo samatele.
Hayi
siphethe kakubi.
Kodwa nyamezelani kwaulunga.
Hayi kuzawulunga manditsho nje sihlalo ukuthi kungathi kuyasizakala ukuya kwezi provinces sithethe no premier nezinye MECs. Ukuthi zingayiboni lento njengento yezulimo kuphela so ngomvulo besise KZN sidibene no premium mutsha kanye nama MECs awu 4 aka economic affairs finance local government plus laba bethu ke izolo besise Free State the same but what was nice yeah. Is that the premiers themselves and actually the MECs who are not MECs of agriculture, they started realizing the economic impact on this thing. So we think there'll be a really good support. And House of Traditional Leaders have really also been very helpful on the advocacy part. So we think that outreach is osnceda to make sure that everybody is on board.
No, siyabulela, Phathiswa. Let's hope we can keep this in good time.
Yebo.
Yes. Akhbare Breer, hoe gaan dit?
Voorzitter, goed en self.
Ek is baie goed, man.
Dan is ek bly om te hoor, maar die somer moet nou kom. Ek is nou
ja, koud kry. Ja, baie koud in die kap, he. Is baie koud in die kap.
En Bloemfontein ook.
Yep.
Minister, I saw you were in the Free State, yes. And it was one of our coldest days.
It was, eh?
But yes, I really, Chairperson, if you would allow me, I really do hope that that your visit here and that the MEC and the Premier's commitment to actually, you know, fighting this FND really goes a long way. Because at this stage, as you know, Minister, the Free yeah. State is not even supposed to have FND, and it's at a stage where really it is impacting our farmers, not only commercial but our small scale and our subsistence farmers as well. And it really is the crisis.
It is.
No, thank you for that, Akhbare Breer. Ndabezitha, Nkosi Nkulu.
Themba Mkhulu.
Iyaphileka Nkosi.
Iyaphila Nkosi, jabula kuphela nje masivukile ekuseni.
Aw, sajabula ukuba nenkosi singayini uqala inhlangano inkosi ngekho.
Aw, kodwa inkosi inganiyona ehlele esihlalweni.
Siyabulela ndabezitha.
Ndabezitha uzosiphathela inyama. Hawu njani ndabezitha nidle kangaka?
Ingani izoza namatele emhlonishwe.
Hayi mayisivuthi wayinawo amatele.
Oh. La isithokoze
mfana. Hayi ndabezitha umlumkelo uphathiswa ngiyabona sefuna sichele zonke iinkomo zethu. Ingathi naye nje uzosiphathela ukuthi kuxhelwe iy'nkomo. Honorable members, let's take this opportunity to welcome you to our first meeting on this third term. Therefore, I want to greet the Honorable Minister, the Deputy Ministers, as well as the DG, Ntate Ramasodi, the heads of departments and the leadership of the entities who are present on this virtual meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, comrades and friends, and our esteemed guests from the media, good morning, Goeiemôre, Molweni, Dumelang. We trust that you are well and in high spirits as we come to draw on this Women's Month, which we are nearing to its closure. We are therefore cognizant of the many women, such as Annette Steyn, who was part of our portfolio committee and has been in this portfolio committee since the early days of Stone Cizade as the chairperson in the fourth parliament. We are cognizant of the role women have played and who continue to shape the destiny of our nascent democracy. Honorable members, before we consider the agenda items before us today, the Agricultural Products Amendment Bill, the CS presentation, and the adoption of our last minutes, we would like to spend a few minutes reflecting on the role of women in agriculture and in rural development. 75% of women's, or rather of the world's poor, live in rural areas, and most are involved in farming, as confirmed by the World Bank, FAO, and IFAD in 2009. In the 21st century, agriculture remains a fundamental tool to economic growth. Poverty alleviation and environmental sustainability. According to the International Fund for Agricultural Development of 2009, 3 out of every 4 people in developing countries live in rural areas, and most of them depend directly or indirectly on agriculture for their livelihoods. In many parts of the world, women are the main farmers or producers, but their role remains largely unrecognized. We must also take cognizance of the fact that despite their significant contribution to agricultural production, women are significantly underrepresented in the area of decision making. We wish to make this call during this Women's Month to ensure gender equality in our agriculture and agro-processing value chains, especially in the areas of decision making and management. Honorable members, today
recording in progress
for us the Agricultural Products Amendment Bill for consideration. Given our introductory remarks, the significant question that comes to mind is how significant a portion of those consulted in the process of bringing this bill before us today were constituted by women stakeholders. Honorable members, I also want to take this opportunity to acknowledge the leadership role of the Honorable Minister Mamutogo Didiza in advancing the agenda of women's development within this portfolio. It goes without saying that we must build upon the many sterling achievements and take these to new heights. The Agricultural Products Standards Act, number 119 of 1990, provides for control over the sale and export of certain agricultural products, control over the sale of certain imported agricultural products, control over the related products, and for matters connected therewithin. Honorable members, consequent to the legal opinion from the Chief State Law Advisor regarding the concept of management control systems being ultra averse, the Agricultural Product Standards Amendment Bill was drafted to address the legality of the concept. The concept of management control system deals with the method of production and the accompanying labeling claims associated therewith. Honorable members, the current act had to be reviewed to accommodate different inspection and auditing methods, amongst other things, to ensure proper application and enforcement of the act. The Agricultural Product Standards Amendment Bill aims to strengthen the regulatory framework for agricultural production, health and food security and food safety of certain agricultural products. Such a regulatory framework promotes food safety, creates an enabling environment for increased and sustainable production. The bill was pre-certified by the Chief State Law Advisor in 2017 and in 2020, respectively. Honorable members, the bill was subjected to the socioeconomic impact assessment system. I am especially pleased that the previously disadvantaged communities will benefit from reliable and quality products, as opposed to inferior products which were being sold to them. In addition, honorable members, equal entry and access to market as a result of harmonized legislation, removal of barriers to entry, and a strengthened regulatory framework are all welcomed. The focus of the bill, honorable members, on the sale of organically produced products is growing in growing market internationally that contributes significantly to export revenue in a food and beverage sector. I am especially pleased that new entrants will be afforded the opportunity to enter into a market which will recognize their method of producing food without the use of agrochemicals, which was historically only limited to certain producers. The potential for job creation is significant, and we welcome the Dalred efforts to expand this section. Honorable members, the social and environmental impact assessment system presentation sets out to examine the impact in areas of social cohesion, food security and food safety, and economic growth and investment, economic inclusion, that being employment creation and equity, as well as the environmental sustainability. The latter, honorable members, provides for regulation of methods of production that will result in the adoption of methods which will limit the use of agrochemicals, which will ensure environmental sustainability over a longer period. Honorable members, the minutes of our last meeting table will be tabled for adoption before we conclude this session today. And they have also raised the number of questions of strategic importance. We would do well to revisit some of these questions and ensure that the issues are adequately addressed before we move for its adoption. I would want to, therefore, honorable members, invite the department in presenting the presentation before us today, which will be focusing on the Agricultural Products Standards Act. We invite the honorable minister Umamo Didiza to give opening remarks before she may be excused, as she has other businesses of the day to attend to. Mpatiso.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and also members of the committee and our senior officials present. I must say that indeed we are appreciative of the role that you, as the leader of the committee, with your members, have played in helping us to navigate a number of policy as well as regulatory issues that we have to deal with from time to time. You've raised very incisive questions that you had asked us to go back and look at. And even today, one of the issues being the Women's Month, you have also raised with us as the department, is how we must, even though you posed it as a question, but I take it that it was also an advice that at all times we need to make sure that we take into consideration the interests of the most vulnerable, particularly women farmers and women agri-entrepreneurs in the processes of the department to actually bring effect the issues of women empowerment into reality so that they too, they can have a voice in what we are doing. Chairperson, you have articulated what the bill seeks to achieve, and you've given the background of where we started with this process and where we are now. So in order for us not to waste the time, I would request, Chairperson, through your permission, that the department then tables the presentation to yourselves. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mahmoud Deza. Can we request the officials of the department to proceed and present the bill?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, the presentation today will be made by Ndate Seraghe, the acting DDG within agricultural production and biosecurity and disaster management. And that presentation will cover the aspects that Honorable Minister had alluded to. On the platform, we also have got colleagues that come from the very same branch, starting with the director who's responsible for this, and Ndate Makhafula and the other colleagues who will be able to respond to some of the issues during the engagement. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. With your permission, we call upon Ndate Seraghe to give the presentation.
Thank you very much, Minister, DG, and honorable members, Chairperson, and honorable members of this August Portfolio Committee. We are ready to present, except that the system does not enable us to share the screen. If the administration could assist, we will be able to share the presentation. Thank you. Or even if it's shared from the side of the administration, that will still work. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you can have it on the slide mode. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. We're presenting to you this, to yourselves, the August Committee, the bill, the Agricultural Product Standard Act, which has been which is being amended, or which is a draft and a bill for its amendment. There are three key reasons that necessitated this amendment. But before I get to that, I just need to also clarify, emphasize the importance of this bill in the day-to-day life of the agricultural sector in the country. It is this very bill that makes enables this country to be able to export the agricultural products, your fruits, and all other products. It is this bill that ensures that it goes into the, as far as scientific determination of the quality of fruits and agricultural products that we are proud as a country of. This very bill is responsible for the controlling the quality as well of products that are imported into this country. It is this bill has got far-reaching responsibilities, and this has got far-reaching. It's got a very wide reach in that it takes care of everything agricultural produced and things that members, some of the members might not be aware, as far as vinegar, as far as edible ice cream, as far as bread, as far as all the other items that we have in our grocery list. It is this bill that sets the parameters and sets the requirements, the standards, and the of quality, and as well as the food safety. Now, this bill, if you could just, with the previous slide quickly, which are the main reasons when, thank you, management control system was not catered for when this bill was enacted in 1990. So with the changing environment, obviously things started changing, and we wanted to be able to audit the system, that the production systems with which we would be able to regulate new entrances into the space, such as Honorable Chairperson has mentioned, organic production, for instance. So if you were to then regulate organic production, it means we should be able to have to audit the production practice thereof. And at the time when we wanted to do that, we were alerted that we are acting beyond the scope of the act, which the lawyers or legal people would call it ultra-virus. The current act also does not take into account or does not explicitly or sufficiently express the mandate of the act as far as auditing of systems is concerned. So we've got to have this included in. And lastly, this bill makes provisions for appointment of different assignees. One of the known assignees, the assignee known to this committee, is the PPECB, Perishable Products Export Control Board. Without this bill, this act, Agricultural Products Standard Act, you would not have PPECB playing the export control role that it plays. PPECB itself becomes established for cold chain management, but it is brought into this space by the provisions of this bill. So this bill makes provision for appointment of assignees. One of them is PPCB, the other one is SAMIC, which is about the meat at the abattoirs, the meat production, the standards at the current abattoirs in the country. So when this assignees are appointed, other additional assignees were appointed because we realized that with the changing environment and the landscape, there was a need to add additional assignees onto the space, and also with the compensation of employees, budget constraints, we thought it was going to be better if we introduce other players in the form of assignees. And when we've, after doing that, we were also made aware that the setting of the fees by this assignees was not expressed sufficiently in the act. Hence, you see the bullet setting of fees. Second, next slide. The main objectives of the bill, as we may have gone through this, basically the regulatory framework of agricultural production, health and food safety, production meaning those that are referred to the auditing, the production systems and related, and then also for the auditing, and this I spoke of, and to promote the participation of affected, this is, which is very key. The transparency that we brought into the Act is to enable those that might be affected by the work of the assignees, as they would have been appointed by minister in terms of provisions of this Act. They needed, in the past, when the bill, the Act, the current Act, it made no provision for transparency in as far as the setting of the fees is concerned. So we've brought this in to ensure that any assignee that charges inspection fees has got to be transparent, and those fees must be set in a cost recovery manner. So it's not about that. It should cap for their interest of trying to make more money out of the process of government. Next slide. Here we're just going to quickly go through what insertions have been made into the current bill, on current Act, and in the bill. This section, I'll refer of interest in the interest of time, will be this part. The part as to why are we substituting after having identified this gap, that so that there was no provision for different methods of enforcement of under this Act. Method of enforcement would mean what is it that we, a part of that is the audit. By audit, we need to come and make sure that when you say you are producing organically, we need to be able to come and check that indeed your production it's complies with the set parameters for organic production. So in the current Act, if we were to do that, it would have only been by means of going physically to the site. And you could imagine the country being this vast, this what might not be practical. So we then introduced the this part, which would then mean better defines audit. And as it's been broadened, it then would make it easier for the different role players, like I said, to be able to see what is it, and also because it would be a transparent process. But other than that, it allows us to have a different method other than just physical inspection of the production. So we would be able to have other means which are still become legal of finding out or of enforcing the very Act. Next slide. Again, here there had to be a clearer interpretation. Basically, when this department, because of the obviously what happens with the change in government, so this is a normal. I don't even have to waste time on this one. We, as and when the department's name changes, we then had to change, and also we had to clear that, make it clear distinctions in the Act of the roles and of the minister and the director general. Next slide. This one also, like I spoke of earlier, the management control system. In this specific case, it will also mean it just clarifies what the control system is, and then it helps that the other labels, like we are already having situations of vegetarian wars, and wars is basically a name that is known to be of meat. Now there's vegetarian wars, so we don't want our people saying extra healthy margarine, something like that. So we are clearing that definition to ensure that nobody can just claim extra healthy margarine as an example, or whatever deceptive labeling might be being used. So we are eliminating any possibility or potential of unscrupulous companies to use deceptive labeling. Thank you. Next slide. Again, we needed to harmonize our definition with of cell. Cell it gets defined broadly. Cell means presenting it. If I'm sitting there at the street with the vegetables on a table, I'm selling, but also if I'm bringing them to you to deliver them at your shop, I'm selling. So the definition of sell has got to be, was found to be, to have limitations. And then we then had to amend it to broaden it, ensure that it's broadened enough to cover all means and ways of presenting goods or of exchanging goods, which would then be sell. And here we needed it to also align with the Food Disinfectant and Cosmetics Act, which is the act that is administered by the Department of Health. So because regulation, that when you speak of food safety in the country, you cannot do that without concurrence of the Department of Health, because that's where we call agriculture and health, they come together as far as the regulations of food safety in the country. Next slide. This one is an assignee. I spoke at length as to what an assignee is, the designation of assignee for the management control. So it allows an opportunity for us to have for minister to appoint another assignee. Assignees, like I said, are these companies. They may be private, they may be a parastatal, which government might appoint specifically to take care of certain sections of the act. There might be different reasons why a department would opt for an assignee instead of performing the functions itself. So this, we're bringing comfort in the event of the need arising for us to be able to appoint an assignee whose sole purpose becomes that of quality, basically the designation of appropriately qualified assignee. In this specific case, it will be for the management control system. At the moment, we do not have this assignee for management control system. As I've identified it as one in the beginning, as one of the things that we had to bring into this bill. So now with this section that is inserted, we are able to, if minister sees the need, feels the need to appoint, that will be quite catered for by this act, this bill once it's enacted into law. So this is basically bringing that into a broadening and also allowing us the possibility should a need arise. Next. I spoke of transparency and accountability of setting of fees. These are the fees that the assignee would have to set, the cost recovery fees. So we've had going and a lot of court challenges in the current additional assignees that we've appointed. They were challenged, a lot of challenges, and the High Court ruled that the process of this assignee setting inspection and related fees has got to be one, cost recovery, and of course, has got to be transparent. The executive officer referred to here, this is the director responsible, the registrar, if you like. Some ex call a registrar, some call it national executive officer, some call ex call an executive officer. This is an employee of the department who is designed or designated by minister for the administration of the bill. So this was basically, whenever we see executive officer, we must see it in that light. So this is, again, the stakeholders would be able to participate and challenge the fees that the assignee that would have been appointed in terms of section 2 above. If the assignee has to set fees, they've got to, there's a transparency, or we've enabled a provision where they've got to be transparent, and they can be asked questions as to how they arrive at the fees that they would be imposing. Next slide. Again, the members would have already noticed that there's more transparency as far as the new insertions in this act are concerned. This is because this, like I said, this act has a wide coverage as far as the sale of agricultural products. Obviously, this is the food that agricultural products control. It means food control in the main. So the production thereof and the importation thereof. So this is this act has got a far a wide reach rather. So that's why there's the need for the transparency, that it be sufficient transparency with everything that as far as this act is concerned. So this basically the amendment that will be made would be the insertion of the section 1A, one paragraph A of the principal act. So in the act will be include, this is what it will read like, basically also ensuring that the executive officer, this is the director or official of government appointed by minister, that after consideration of comments, after they've gone out, look for comments received in terms of this, they will in writing approve the business plan. This business plan is that of the assignee. So the assignee has got to put a business plan that this is how they're going to conduct inspections, this is how they're going to do 1, 2, 3, and whatever they do, the executive officer's responsibility is reinforced and reinforced so that so it's fortified, actually, my bad, it's fortified such that it then is able to control the process for the process that the assignee would be setting inspection fees, for instance, and there will be that transparency. And then the alternative methods I spoke of earlier, which is a method of auditing or inspection. At the moment, inspection, like I said, the current act says inspectors would come and then take a sample, inspect the products, take a sample, whatever reason that they want to. But that is the only way in which inspection can happen. Now, with audit in place, it means we have to come up with other alternative ways of achieving the same end goal without necessarily having to subject the product to the only inspection. So audit is also catered for. And like I said earlier, it was not necessarily sufficiently expressed in the current act. So thank you. These are the stakeholders that play an important role in the space. Apologies for this one. Hotcrow is the poems and being the main apples and pears association. This is typo. In the other version, we had it explained. Just apologies for that. This is the association for the pears and apple producers. Otherwise, these are the stakeholders that were consulted when this bill was being worked on. And I must also indicate that this work that we are doing now with the August committee, we have done it with the other August committee in the previous administration, but we are still at your service. And if this August committee wants us to do some further work, we are more than ready to do that. Next slide. Thank you very much, DG. Back to you.
We submit, Chair.
Thank you, DG, and that Serage for the presentation. Honorable members, there we have our presentation from the department. I also have our parliamentary legal advisors on standby who may be available to also give input on the bill as put by the department. Let us take their input, and then we can have questions of clarity on the presentations. Major Kimelo, would you want to speak to the presentation as put by the department? Mepa Pralutz.
Good Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Chair, as far as I can see and from the department's presentation, our office is in agreement as it is presented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any input, Mayor Mello? You covered?
Thank you, Chairperson. Nothing from my side.
Thank you. I say, honorable members, we'll then open this for questions of clarity and discussion on the presentation. Honorable Kabe.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentations and the remarks made by the minister, as well as your good self. Chair, I don't know if I've missed anything. I just want to check what was the conclusion on the issue of the traditional leadership on this regard. That is the only question, but otherwise the presentation is clear and straightforward. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Kabe. Honorable Ntate Masipa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Minister and colleagues and the officials from the department. Chair, I think the presentation was quite clear. What I just want to make sure, Chair, is that obviously this is a standard practice, especially with the exporters in the fruit industry, with obviously they have got their own assignee, as the presenter has indicated. I think the question for me is that the cost implications, because obviously, you know, it's going to come at a cost, you know, to really roll it out to all the sectors, and especially the emerging farmers. I think really key is to really understand as to how the department is planning, one, to ensure that it's not as costly to the emerging farmers, and also, you know, looking at how they're going to really ensure that they comply to really end up having the access to the market. Because one, this bill, while it's good, it might also, you know, endanger those that cannot comply due to reasons being financial capacity or not having the logistical, you know, strong logistical support to do what they need to do, is that obviously then they're going to be cut out. And the last thing, Chair, remember when you start now implementing this, because this is now on the farm, in the processing, in the making. So now what you're going to have, you're going to have a situation where when a farmer is going to make an application through the banks or through the financial sector, wherever he's sourcing the funding, you might find that when he or she is not compliant, the bankers say, you know, this is risky. Where are you? Who's going to take your product without this particular compliance? So primarily, Chair, what I'm asking is, have we looked at the implementation on the ground to just ensure that the farmers that are vulnerable are covered when this bill is being implemented or is being gazetted finally? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Memaso.
Good morning, Chair. I wonder if I'm audible because I have got a problem with network today here. But let me say,
you're audible. We can hear you loud and clearly.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you and to the minister and all my colleagues on the platform, including all the officials of the department, our DG. The presentation was very clear to me, and it will be an addition to what the Honorable Masipa was talking about, the logistical support from the department with regard to the the SA, with regard to the quality management system of those smallholders that are going to be assisted, things like policies that will allow them, if they are taught or helped or assisted with policies that will help them to be able to merge the global market or the international markets, if the department has done that or they're busy doing that to those farmers. That was just a little question that I have. Thank you very much. But otherwise, we appreciate the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Memasho. The Honorable Ntate Matias. Ntate Matias. Honorable Briet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me also maybe start with funding and cost implications. In the memorandum of the bill, the department stated that the cost implications to public entities and assignees, such as the PPECB and to the department, will be minimum. In the socioeconomic impact assessment system report, the costs are said to be related to two additional employees, resourcing of the laboratory, training of staff on new procedures, creation of awareness to producers on the application and meeting the requirements of the bill. In this regard, and to ensure effective implementation of the legislation once passed, the department should indicate whether it has the budget and the personnel capacity to carry out the additional responsibilities that will be brought by these proposed amendments. My second question would then be, what will be the specific cost implications to the PPECB and or other assignees, and who will bear the costs thereof? The third question, in the socioeconomic impact assessment system report, the department highlighted more benefits for the consumer in the form of quality and appropriate label products. Any cost implications for the consumer in light of the new audit requirements and possible additional fees that will be borne by producers of organic and free-range agricultural produce? If we can get clarity on that, Chairperson, I think then Honourable Masipa has covered in terms of your small-scale producers, the costing and the fees regarding auditing I was worried about. Chairperson, and then maybe on Saturday, there was a Johannesburg, and it might not be specifically related to these amendments, but it does apply to the Act. And if you would allow me this question for the department, if they can maybe just answer. Saturday, there was a judgment in the Johannesburg High Court with regard to plant-based products. It was with regard to a notice that was given out in June to plant-based producers such as ProVeg. And I would like to just find out from the department, will this bill impact that? Or will this court judgment impact the bill rather? Has work been done with regard to this matter and how would it actually influence this? And then maybe just as a last point, taking into account the new European import regulations in terms of specifically citrus, the bill with all of its amendments, as we've seen in the past, are we foreseeing that this will actually address our issues that we are currently experiencing as well? Chairperson, that is all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Akbar Briet. The Honorable Mamu Chwete.
Chairperson, and good morning to the officials of the department and my fellow colleagues. Chairperson, my question, my clarity has been covered on the issue of the monitoring. It is straightforward, and the amendments are very, very clear. I don't have any clarity-seeking questions except the one, the monitoring of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chwete.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to all members and the department staff and the support staff from the portfolio committee. Chairperson, I don't think I have any question except to say one would be very comfortable if the department is going that route of making sure that we eat organic products in order to have, you know, the challenge that we've been having of these chemicals in our foodstuff. Even the soil gets destroyed, only relies on these chemicals for plant and food production. You know? So the presentation was very clear, Chairperson, and one would hope that we are going to maybe reach that international standard of getting our consumers what is good for them, what is good for their lives. Thank you, Chair.
The Honorable Maokapa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Chair, to you, to the Minister, and the Department, and all my colleagues. For me, Chair, it's just two clarities. One is that I was not able to go through the list what was presented of the participants. But on this part, I'm simply interested on whether there has been a common understanding with the commodity groups, those people who definitely want to look after their specific products, where they look for the situation where the legislation is in their interest or in their favor. That to get a clarity on that part. And also that if in the experience of the department in the process, were there any glitches or anything that maybe they feel that they might be a problem in the future. Just a clarity on those two things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kapa. Honorable members, is there any other honorable member on the platform who have not recognized, who may wish to pose a question? If not, I will also take the opportunity, honorable members, to pose a question with regards to the benefits that the consumer or the improvements in the food quality regulatory system, which emphasis seems to be on the sale or export of agricultural products. What about the imported agricultural products? And how does or how will the department verify the authenticity of an imported organic or free-range agricultural product? Second one will be linked to what has been raised by Akhbare Briet on the court case on the seizure of fake meat products. Which legislation is going to be responsible for labeling of agricultural products? Let us hand back to the department. Ntate Ramasodi, the DG of the department, and Ntate Serafe, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me also thank the questions and the comments came from the honorable members. As indicated earlier on, we have got a team here. Let's start with Mr. Malusi Bidima Kafola, who's the director. Then we'll go to Ntate Serage, and I will end up in terms of the comments that the colleagues may have left out. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG, and a good morning to the Chairperson and Honourable Members of this August Portfolio Committee and other members who have just joined us. Let me start off by answering some of the questions. It has to be borne in mind that this is the Act exists as it is. Now it is actually being enforced. So the cost implications that members are actually may actually be referring to may not necessarily be there necessarily, because all of those activities that are pertains to control of export, control of imported products, as well as controls that are there for products that are sold locally, are actually being implemented currently. However, the only implication probably that is going to be coming in would be in the form of regulating those products that have been produced and are actually being sold with certain claims like your organic, your free range. And in that space as well, it has to be borne in mind that there are private standard certification bodies that are actually accosting for those products to be certified to be organic and all of this. And all of those things are using different standards that have that one cannot necessarily control. So with this bill actually being inserted into law, finally, if that is going to be the case, it will actually assist in setting a minimum standard against which these methods of production can actually be audited. And that will actually afford the opportunity to all of those farmers that necessarily do not have the means to contract private certification bodies to authenticate their product. So if the department applies and sets conditions that are generally known to everyone, that if you are to claim organic, this is the standard that you have to accord with. If you are to say something is free range, these are the conditions that you are going to attach to. And we have to be, to also remember that we also have what we call geographical indicators, your garu meat, and all of those things. They're not necessarily regulated. And once you have the methods of production, your halal, actually coming into the equation, you then have the form of guarantee that you're going to give both to the producers of the product as well as to the consumers as to the authenticity of that product. You can guarantee without fail that this actually meets the minimum standard that has been set in terms of the Agricultural Products Standards Act. So the actual implication is that more than anything, the cost will certainly be reduced because the different certification bodies that are going to be, that are actually charging exorbitant amount of money to ascertain that products are either organic or free range, will certainly be something that is going to be coming under control. So we do not actually anticipate the cost implication to ramp up, because in any case, all of those products, as it is now for export, for all of those logistics, are actually being carried out as we speak. The only thing that we are now bringing, the management control system, which comes with it, auditing, and then we also have to look at the issue of the setting of fees by assignee, that it is actually done transparently. There are certain assignees that have bought representations, but those bought representations are not necessarily cover all of those products. You are like your grains, they are just price takers. So by having a system where you're now going to have this bill, where before you actually come up with your fees, you then have to give us a business case or your budget, that will then share with all of those people through a government gazette so that they can have their comments. And of all of those people not covered can then come into the picture. So there's transparency. They also have input to make in terms of the setting of fees. So we do not expect this thing to actually escalate into costs that may not necessarily be bearable to our farming community. But that said, having said so, we also have in the department, we do have a directory that actually will be going out to sensitize all that these are the changes that have actually come about, and these are the changes that, these are the kind of benefits that ought to be, that are going to be eked from implementation of such systems. So we do not expect a cost escalation to be that much of a problem. The other thing is that I've actually answered the question of quality management system, because as it is, the only thing that is going to be happening is that method of production will certainly be the central point that is going to be covered. But it does not necessarily mean that currently we do not have products that have been sold under certain claims. And our concern is that those claims are not necessarily brought under proper control through a regulation. With respect to the issue that has been brought by Honorable Briata in terms of the cost implication to PPCB, we do not anticipate any cost implication, because in any case, PPCB is already in that space, or any other assignee for that matter. So the only thing is just for them to authenticate that indeed samples will be taken, and if somebody claims something is organic, over and above auditing their own management control system, or auditing the organic manner of producing. There will also be samples taken to laboratory to do some, carry out some tests to see that indeed inorganic fertilizers have not been used. And the issue of plant-based product, I think we have actually seen the ruling. I don't know whether the ruling as it stands now, it has actually been given out, it's an interim order, which has been given out with Rule DC, returnable on the 17th of November. In other words, the department has to show cause as to why that interim order, with all of what this Consumer Goods Council of South Africa has actually prayed for, should not necessarily be made final. So as it is now, the inspection will certainly go on. Directions will be given for compliance of those meat analogs or plant-based product to comply and stop using the names that are reserved for processed meat product. And the seizure as it is, it is actually going to be held off until the 17th when the court rules otherwise. So we, the department, accept the judgments as it is, and we are going to be complying with it. But that does not necessarily stop the assignee from seeing to be that the regulations on processed meat product is implemented, and any other plant-based product that still evokes the names that are reserved for processed meat product are actually given directions to, for them to be allowed the opportunity to change the label so that they cannot use names that are appropriated for processed meat product in the sale of plant-based product. And that, of course, is done precisely to ensure that there is level the playing field in terms of fair trade practices. But at the same time, you also have to ensure that consumers, of course, consumers are not necessarily misled. They actually know there are certain names that are associated traditionally with meat products. And if those names are not to be advanced, are going to be used in order to advance the sale of plant-based product, that will actually be a problem. So the Act essentially is trying to see to it that there's fair trade practices, but at the same time, consumer protection is actually ensured. So that actually, for the emerging farmers, it should actually be a very good thing, because most of these emerging farmers, most of them are not using chemicals or inorganic fertilizers, or that they don't spray any pesticides on their product. So they should actually find a way of selling the product easier. So they would actually be afforded that opportunity to enter into the market space without necessarily having to incur cost or find barriers of compliance in that respect. That's where I'll end it, DG.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Raising again on the already established protocol, if I understood well, the DG, with the indulgence of the chairperson, has lined us up. And I'm following, but I think Mr. Mokafola, the director responsible for the registrar, rather, also a director, has covered most part of the questions by the honorable members, but I'm just going through them quickly. The one by Honorable Tabe about the traditional leaders. This, honorable members, got to do with the, I presume, the legal services of parliament will advise, but I think it's got to do with how the bill is tagged. So that is the domain that will be so advised, but we stand ready. If a need arises, that we go as far as that, having this presentation made at any sphere of government, we stand ready. We will be able to do that. Honorable Marlo, the quality management system by emerging farmers, I think that was addressed by Mr. Mokafola, except maybe an addition from me, which says, In fact, this bill makes it easier for emerging farmers, because then they don't have to compete in an unfavorable situation where people farm other farmers who have the means to produce and label favorably their products and without the government watching over the situations. Now that we are watching over the situation, farmers, emerging farmers whose production in the main might be organic, there, then this would serve as a protection for them not to compete with others who already have been established. Honorable Briet, I think the questions were sufficiently, in my view, addressed by Mr. Makafula. Honorable Tete, the monitoring, again, this is not a new, oh, sorry, just a bit, Honorable Briet, I'm reminded now, when I, before I respond to Honorable Tete's question about the costs, the department has a capacity at the moment, and the monitoring or the enforcement of the this bill, once centered into law, would really not create any diversion. Our inspectors would not necessarily have to need any extra thing other than additional time, so that the department does have resources, Honorable Briet, as per the undertakings that we made in the CAP memo. So we do have sufficient capacity to enforce and monitor the bill once the bill is assented into law. Honorable Chete, again, about on the monitoring, and I think we agree that it's very critical, especially a new legislation coming into play. There will be those that would try by other means to bypass the new bill. We're going to ensure that we strengthen monitoring and ensure that the law is then adequately enforced. So we thank you very much, Honorable, so that we know we are already ready. We are anticipating a situation where others will try and not comply with the law. Honorable Nkosi Cebekhulu, organic production in the main, like with that of Honorable Mahlo, this act, when this bill once is assented into law, now makes it very clear and easier for us consumers to choose whether we want to eat organic or not. Because those that would be claiming organic or those that would be producing organically, they would then be able to be inspected and audited and certified that these are organic products. So when you go on the shelf, at a store shop or a supermarket, you're able to choose organic and this would be organic. So our farmers, the emerging farmers and farmers in other spaces where they are currently producing organically as a result maybe of the high cost of fertilizers and pesticides, this is an opportunity for them not to be to have to compete with those that have better means. Honorable Kappa, on the understanding of all those consulted, yes, we can with certainty, Honorable. No problem, concurred with the process. In fact, they to them it's been too long in the waiting. So they really do appreciate the government having to take this stance. In fact, we even went further to start indicating to the European Union and other countries that export foodstuffs to us that will be enforcing this legislation, and also those have really accepted the move. Honorable Nkosi Mandela, the question about the imported, in fact, maybe I went too fast, and it's good that Honorable Nkosi Mandela. In South Africa, we subject all products produced in the country and imported into a country, we subject them to the same law. So those that are imported, you see them on the shelf, we treat them as if they are produced here. Now, the Honorable Chairperson's question is, how do you then ensure that these countries were complied with, for instance, the auditing system that we are introducing? Again, the WTO rules allow for countries the sovereignty to produce and have laws, but when they intend to export to other countries, they need to certify that they comply with rules of the country to which they are exporting their product. In the same way as we do, when we for you to accept our citrus oranges, they accept that we comply with their laws and our production systems comply with their requirements. We have a country with our law, and this is asked by and I think very important, as Nkosi Mandela, then be expecting of exporting to our country to comply, yes, and we'll also put in place requirements and follow up and ensure that the competent authorities of those countries do actually comply. And on the basis of them not complying, we actually can reject consignment coming from them. I think we answered all of them. Okay. Also, Honorable Masipa, on the vulnerable farmers, I think Mr. Makafula addressed that. But in the main, the current act, it actually does support production as it's currently happening. And these new amendments to the act would actually make the situation much better for vulnerable farmers, because those that would have been able to produce, you could imagine, as far as somewhere in Limpopo, they're producing avocados or mangoes without fertilizers, without pesticides. That automatically, if we are to check on them, they would automatically become organic. So they don't necessarily have to do anything if their production systems have been geared to, or have been, yes, geared towards organic production. DG, I think we captured, this is what we've been able to capture and attempted to respond. So thank you very much, honorable members, for your indulgence. Back to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Ndatisarage, and thank you very much, honorable chair. Maybe just to touch on the last aspect that Mr. Sarage had indicated, where honorable chair was asking whether imports would be regulated. And I think there is a legal issue that maybe we need to clarify, that where we talk about exports and sale, it would mean that anything that is imported and intended for sale in our country would be subjected to what we do in terms of our local controls. And therefore, whatever is imported would then be regarded in terms of that insertion of the indication that is intended for sale in our country. So sale would also include those that are imported. There were two questions that I thought that I should also give emphasis to, and I think my colleagues have just done justice to those. The first one was around PPCB, and I think that it was Honorable Masipa, Honorable Briet, who asked this question to say, how does this impact on the current assigneeship? And I would then assume that it's based on two issues, the multiple assigneeship that the department wants to give, and secondly, the impact in terms of the methodologies that you are bringing in, or the risk-adjusted approach that the department would like to bring in. And I would like to respond maybe to the multiple assignees, that this will not have an impact in terms of PPCB and their mandate, but it also gives us leeway to get other assignees in other fields that are there, so that we can assure the consumers that the food that they're eating in terms of quality are of the best quality. We have been doing that in terms of the other assignees that we have got the space, including the court case that was taken on Saturday. The implementation was supposed to be done by an assignee of the department, but we wanted to broaden it up so that we can be able to look at the full scope around quality control of agricultural products. The second issue was how this risk management approach is going to assist PPCB. I think PPCB has been on record to say that the current model that we are addressing of endpoint inspection is actually bringing a lot of financial pressure on the organization per se. And they would have liked to have a risk-adjusted approach where they would then do audits and be able to go on these audits and deal with the issues that are at hand. And I think it's also going to have an impact on our exports, because I'll use, for instance, the different methods. If I know that citrus black spot on a particular farm is prevalent, using it from a quality point of view, not from a plant health point of view, I would be able to then say my concentration would be on this farm and other farms. And as they address the issues around their quality control systems, you would then be able to risk adjustedly deal with them differently from others that would be risky at that time. And I think that this also addresses the issue that was raised by Honorable Marshall on the systems that would be implemented. This would not only assist because it would actually lower the cost of compliance for different farmers, because there's a lot that happens as an endpoint inspection only addresses an issue to say that all products would be inspected equally, notwithstanding the methodology that was done right through the system up to the endpoint. So from my point of view, it will lower the cost, and in terms of the social impact assessment that we have done, we are confident that this is going to lower the cost. And at PPCB, this is something that they've been pining for. The last element was around honorable. On the remind the honorable members of the portfolio committee that initially, I think in the earlier years, we had tried to come up with an organic policy, farming policy in the department, which we had tried to say we are going to insert into the regulations of the Agricultural Product Standards Act. A way of regulating organic farming in South Africa, which was not allowed at that stage. And this is the time where we are saying we are trying to then bring this in alignment, because in as much as there is a lot that we say we have got organic farming, but nobody would be able to say that it's regulated and we can be able to certify from a departmental point of view or through MNE to say that's organic farming. So we need to bring this into line. Those were the issues that I thought I would just add, but the colleagues had already done a lot of ground on the areas. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the PC.
Thank you, Dade Ramasodi, DG of Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And also let's thank the officials of the department for their responses. Honorable members, any follow-up questions? I see the end of Honorable Dade Masipa. We may go ahead. Any other honorable members, please do raise your hands. For those that wish to pose follow-up questions, you may proceed, Dr. Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. I think I must really again emphasize that I'm not against the bill. Primarily, you know, with regards to ensuring that the communal or rural receive the support in ensuring that their produce get into the market, because you don't farm and then later go look for the market. And the big challenge that we are facing now in rural areas is that with the growth of the ShopRites and all these big retailers, is that farmers that are used to farming and go look for the market are struggling, and they end up destroying their goods, their products, because their products are not certified already to meet the requirements of the ShopRites and the big supermarkets. So I just really want to know if the department has got the capacity to actually assist these farmers. Engage planting spinach, they cannot get them to the market. That's number one. The other point which you raised, Chair, the legal case, I have to be honest that I don't get the logic of the department removing the products that are named with animal call it name of the beggar and so forth. Because, and I just want to sketch this, Chair. You know, we've got geographical indicators where we use them, you know, to prohibit other countries from using our names, like agriculture, call it the agri names indicators that needs to be protected from being used for other reasons and so forth. I just really want to get some clarity there. The other question that I think I raised was around the assignees and cost implications. I know that, you know, I get a feel that there is no cost implications, but you know, my feel is that, you know, if you look at the PECB, you know, the way they've been doing, or call it the horticulture business, this is geared, has always been geared towards exporting, and not necessarily, you know, doing the local market. And they have always been compliant because of their export regulations and so forth. But I do not think that we have been really very aggressive in the country in ensuring that, you know, the standards are met. And DG did allude to this fact that when we're talking about the fresh produce markets and so forth. So the question is, how many new assignees are going to be, you know, be appointed and obviously assisting to ensure that the country is compliant? Because it's one thing, good Chair, to get the importers complying to this and finding that our own country with our own local suppliers, we are not complying because we don't have enough assignee and we are not really able to execute. The last question, Chair, is around the imported goods. Are they not anticipating any backlash like we have had with regards to the EU? Is there no potential backlash regarding the imported goods because some countries might not be complying? I think the question is there expectation that all countries around the world will be complying and there will be smooth sailing in terms of implementing this particular bill?
Honorable members, any other follow-up question? If not, let me sponsor another follow-up question. And I'm simply not sure if the question on labeling was answered to satisfaction. So I will pose it again in terms of who's responsible for labeling of agricultural products. If we can gain clarity in that regard. But also it is mentioned in the court case that Consumer Goods Council has argued that neither the Food and Safety Agency nor the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development have regulatory powers over the naming of fake meat products. Can we gain clarity in this regard as well? Thank you. Over to you, DG, and officials of the department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My apologies. Let me turn on the camera again. We really welcome the questions that have been asked, specifically from two distinct points. One point in terms of enriching what we are coming up with, and the second point on the clarity that is needed. And I would like Ndate Makhafula, if he can, just to outline the issue on the legal processes within the Act itself, because I am getting an indication that there might be a lot of issues that we need to share with the Portfolio Committee on the implementation of the Act, because this court case is because the department was implementing the Act. I will outline the issues around the engagements that are there on the cost of compliance and what we are doing as the department to address that the small-scale farmers are compliant to the marketing requirements that we have as a department and the quality requirements. So if you can just have that in the very same line with Ndate Makhafula, and then I'll finish up in terms of the issues that are there, thanking the PC again for.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start off with the issue of plant-based or meat analogs and why the sort of prohibition of plant-based product or meat analogs for them not to use names that are reserved for processed meat product. In 2019, we actually published a regulation that talks to processed meat product. Along with that regulations, there were classes and standards for each and every product names associated with those standards and classes. Now, if you have published prescribed, because the Act says that if something is prescribed, it's by regulations. And the regulations, at the concept went broadly, we actually evolved the plant-based producers, plant-based product or plant-based meat producer, to say that this is the regulation that is actually going to be regulating. And in the very same regulation, we actually made it very clear that meat analogs are not regulated. They are not regulated. But it becomes an issue when such products which are not regulated are then going to be using names that are reserved, that are prescribed. You have standards, you have classes for those names in the processed meat product. Essentially, what you are then saying is that you are then inviting the inspector to use the very same standard, because remember, inspection goes in terms of the claims, labeling of the product. The labeling of the product itself suggests that you then have to look at whether that product meets the standard that has been stipulated for that very product name. So once you have those names, you are then inviting the application of processed meat product to apply to that product. So you're inviting the inspectors to say that, let's go and authenticate that indeed this mushroom biltong is really a biltong. And then we're going to use the standard of processed meat product because it has been prescribed for biltong. Biltong has a standard and classes for that. So this is what is happening. You cannot, the example is like this. If you have water, you cannot suddenly say that I'm having water that looks and tastes like a wine, therefore I'm going to call it water Chardonnay. The standard of Chardonnay, you are certainly trying to adulterate the market for Chardonnay. The same thing, that if you are actually advancing the sale of plant-based product, no problem. But use whatever name that will certainly accord. The nomenclature, the naming convention has to resonate with the plant-based product, not necessarily try to chip into the market that is already established and that is regulated for processed meat product. That's where the problem is. And of course, that is a legal question that is still going to be ventilated in court. We not, as the department, there was only one site. That is why an interdict was given, and there's a returnable date. So on the 17th of November, we would then be able to show cause as to why are we saying that these products, fine, we make common cause, they are not regulated. But once you are not regulated, do not necessarily use names that are regulated to advance the sale of your product. That becomes a problem. That is where we are. And in fact, we cannot necessarily go deeper than that. That is essentially what is actually attracting the whole attention to the prohibition of the use of names that are prohibited and that are highly regulated for the meat processed product, because for the meat processed product, for them to sell the product as such, they are going to be, those products are actually inspected and tested for compositional properties, whether they actually meet the set standard. And the same has to happen when you invoke the names that are prescribed for this product, be it plant-based or call it meat analogs. But essentially, if you don't say, you don't use those names, it remains unregulated. It remains as such, you don't have any interest in that product. And I think, Gigi, that's where you wanted to, for myself, to limit my scope to.
But if I may go to the imported product, the claims that are that actually use that, are we not going to be evoking or are we not going to be attracting the same ire? I don't think so, because what is happening now, it is something that has been happening internationally. We all that we are trying to do is to harmonize specifically management control system with what is actually been happening. There are international standards on how to regulate methods of production. So we are actually following through. In fact, we had it wrong in 2005 when we thought that the management control system, because it has to be borne in mind that management control system existed in the amendment of 1998, but the manner in which we captured it was wrong in that it was found to be wide enough. It was principle of production from primary production up to the sale. So it is wide as it gets. So we had to limit it so that we actually talk to methods of production. That's what we essentially have done here. So, but this actually has been internationally, that has been practiced from 2005, if I remember correctly. And internationally, those methods of production are regulated. Actually, be following in line. So there's nothing untoward, except that even if there is something untoward, the regulations that will be regulating methods of production will be notified with the WTO for member states to comment on the regulation. So we wouldn't suddenly catch them unaware. And I think the other question the DG undertook to respond to them. That's where I will end. Thanks.
Sasaraka, do you have any responses before we conclude and give over to the Honorable Chair?
Yes, just a quick one. Thank you very much, DG, and to Honorable Member for the opportunity once again. I think, Honorable Masipa, the question about the assistance that the department offers to the emerging farmers, and there's this, and I know Honorable Masipa knows it, and the members, agricultural production, the farming, unless it becomes business, it means there's a slogan they use in that space that if you haven't sold it, don't farm it. That is, don't produce it. What this means is that it goes very well with what Honorable Masipa is asking, which is how do we ensure and how does the department assist farmers to comply with the quality dictates of the supermarkets. That may not necessarily be the responsibility of this branch of the department, but there are other branches that whose job is development, which is production. You members would also understand that the minute we go in that space, when we actually are regulating that space, it will actually be to some extent a conflict of interest. But we're speaking here as a branch, the regulatory part of the department, mindful that there is a development part of the department whose sole intention is to advance, to help the emerging farmers to advance to levels where they are able to meet the quality dictates of the ShopRite and all of those supermarkets. So we are going into this work, Honorable Members, knowing very well that the farmers have got to be assisted to comply with this, and Honorable Masipa was better to say, then we need to be able to help them with certification. And again, I think Mr. Mokafla also touched on it. We're simplifying actually the process of inspection instead of, like DG said, endpoint inspection where you are able to produce everything and come the time when you want to sell, we say, we then check. So this one would be risk-based, so producers who would have been found to produce meeting the requirements may not necessarily be frequently inspected, but there will be checks and on the basis of risk. But at the same time, if a need arises for us to assist specifically, that is to make the simplify the application, which is what I think Honorable Masipa was emphasizing on. If a need arises also from our sister branch, on the development of the provincial department, if a need arises for us to simplify this new law to those emerging farmers, we will definitely do that. We will ensure that they understand how to comply, which is, I think, that will be helpful. And then the assignee additional costs, no, that DG touched it on it, and I think he will, as when he wraps up, he will get to that. The Honorable Chairperson Nkosi Mandela, before that it was still, sorry, my bad, Honorable Masipa again on the backlash. Are we anticipating any backlash? No. In fact, the countries, Europe in the main, that are exporting alternatives, or if we're talking about the alternative product or organics, they have already far advanced. They actually have, with Europe specifically, they have a more stringent green policy that they are busy rolling out. So they should be able to comply. So we don't anticipate any backlash. And like I said, the trade of agricultural products is regulated at the WTO already established laws and rules, which make us as a country to respect and recognize the capacity of the competent authorities of other countries, and as we expect other countries to accept that when we say this is organic, the country that we export to has got to just check with us and confirm with us, and the products that are termed organic from South Africa, they were so accepted. In the same way, expected to do the same, we need to, if any need arises though, for us to go out to that country and double check, we stand ready. We've got the means and ways of ensuring that where the claims are, as much as we do for local production, we've got the capacity and of going to ensure that the claims made are indeed authentic. So we don't expect any backlash on the principal and members. Labeling of Greek products, that question, our law specifies, and that's what also Mr. Makafla touched on, the labeling of products. Most of you might be seeing, when you look at a box of oranges, there's a lot of things at the box, but on the other side, or the long side, you see labeling, which is a stage tag labeling. So products are required, the producers are required to ensure that the correct labeling, and it's part of labeling also, as and when they make quality claims, they've got to comply with the law, the applicable provisions of this law. So we regulate the labeling of the products that we regulate. It's not all products, but like I said earlier, in the basket of food of them, in the main, I think 90% of food is regulated by this act. And we then set the requirements for labeling. So it is our responsibility and enforcement thereof of labeling of products. In an attempt to respond to the question by Honorable Chairperson Nkosi Mandela. So I hand back over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Mpatesara. Honorable Chair, let me conclude on the few issues that I had indicated we needed to conclude on. And let me start off with Honorable Masipa on the impact that we are going to have, and assigneeship, on how broad are we going to go with assigneeship. If we look at the management control systems, at this moment, we don't have any assignee that's operating in the space. Where we have got assignees is within the issue around endpoint inspections, and we have got 7 assignees that are there, which includes PPCB as one of the assignees in terms of the Agricultural Products Standards Act. So what's going to happen with the new system? It will be opened up to those qualifying service providers who would be able to do that. And PPCB, if they have got that capacity, would also be eligible to enter and see how best they can then stretch their revenue streams from that level going forward, because that would be another level in terms of expertise and expectations from government to implement. I would like to also indicate that when it comes to the assignees, government is very close in terms of what the assignees are doing, and where an assignee cannot do a particular task that was afforded or accorded by the minister, then the minister can take over the delegation that was given to assigneeship, and we are doing that as a matter of engagement. Honorable Mandela, the the issue that Ndadesara had indicated, that if you haven't sold it, then don't farm it, is something that we are working with the farmers to make the basis understanding. And Honorable Masipa would also understand that that's the basis in terms of engagement, so that these days, in actual fact, products are sold before even they are planted, so that you can have arrangements with the places where you sell them. But noting that we come from a history where this is not always practiced, the very same unit that is presenting here today, promotion and awareness, who are going out to the farmers, indicating what the requirements are. We also have got the marketing unit that does the work around marketing. But all in all, we also have got the SHEP program, which is the small horticulture empowerment program of the department, which was launched by the minister, where this very same concept is a concept that the department is doing. And similarly, we would like to also extend it to other areas of our work. So those are the interventions that we are having to make sure that we can be able to say that the farmers are producing what they are going to sell. The last engagements that we had on the food systems in preparation for the food summit, there is an insertion point that was indicated earlier in that discussion document, which now is going to be implemented. And I think that's where we need to refocus the work of the department, is that we should produce what we consume. And that issue around localization of food systems is an issue where we are going to ensure that this concept is going to be entrenched in terms of our farming, to ensure that farmers produce those that we can consume locally, and ensure that we are less reliant, especially on non-niche products, on exports, as you have seen the current levels in terms of volatility that we are dealing with our exports. That's very important for us to then start off with marketing of products and ensuring that our production is aligned with our local consumption. And that is also entailed in the current system that we are having on our poultry master plan, and also on the agriculture and agro-processing master plan. There is this element that Honorable Mandela has also asked, who's responsible for labeling? That Desaraghe puts it at 90% in terms of labeling. But I would like to request honorable members to also recast on this issue around labeling and the issues that were there in discussion when we discussed the integrated food nutrition and security program. If I didn't get the line in light in terms of the names, but it deals with food security and nutrition, and that is housed in the presidency. One of the issues that was there was, how do we get our food control system to be one? Because when you deal with labeling, while the majority may be with the Agricultural Product Standards Act in terms of the quality of the products, there are other labeling mechanisms that come in that might not necessarily be housed here. They may be housed with the Meat Safety Act. They may be housed with the Agricultural Pest Act in terms of irradiation of honey products. They may be housed elsewhere in other departments, including with the Consumer Protection Act. They may be housed the Food Disinfectants and Cosmetics Act. So you have got quite a lot of multiple players in terms of the labeling of products in our country. And one of the areas that we thought was very important was to come up with a food control agency, or even a food control system to deal with that, which currently has been led from a presidency point of view. So labeling, to summarize, is covered, it's multidimensional depending on the act under which that labeling is being implemented. And therefore, the reflection is that you have quite a lot of these products being covered under the Agricultural Product Standards Act, but that is not the only act. There are a few other acts that have got labeling on agricultural products, and currently there is work that is being done around the food control system in our country. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you, on Dade Ramasodi, the DG in the Department of Agriculture and Reform and Rural Development. Let us also thank the officials of the department for their responses, Dade Serage, as well as Dade Makgavola, for adequately responding to our questions. Honorable members, we will take the bill into our management committee meeting for further processing and revert back to the committee in terms of what the way forward will be. We want to therefore thank all the officials of the department, the DG, the deputy ministers, and the honorable minister Mamoti Diza for their participation and for the presentation that has been put before the committee on the bill. We will now, honorable members, move to our portfolio committee minutes of the meeting we had on the 7th of June, 2022. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Thank you, honorable members. Can we have a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 7th of June, 2022? Honorable Memaso.
Thank you, Chair. Patricia Matlo, move for the adoption of the minutes of the 7th.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Memaso, for moving for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable members, can we have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Ndade Masiba.
Hi, Chair. I move to second the adoption of the minutes of the 7th June 2022. Thanks.
Thank you. Ndade Masiba seconds the adoption of the minutes accordingly. Honorable members, any matters arising? Page one. page 2. Page 3.
Chair.
Honorable Ntate Masipa, on page 3.
I see Mematlo's hand is up.
Mematlo, is that a legacy hand? Or you have a matter arising?
Sorry, Chair. It was forgotten.
All right. Thank you.
Chair, can I go to page 3?
All right. Go ahead, Ntate Masipa.
Chair, on page 3, we kind of raised quite a number of questions as members of the committee. And maybe, Chair, what we need to do is consider a follow-up with regards to around these questions. I do not think that while many could may have been answered, questions around the implementation plan, I think is something that we need to follow up with the department. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Ntate Masipa. We'll look into that as to recall that we had requested that the department should also furnish us with written responses. If we have received them, we will make sure that they are circulated amongst honorable members so that we can be able to have that info shared with yourselves. Still on page 3, honorable members, any matters arising? Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Thank you, honorable members. With no matters arising, the minutes of the 7th of June 2022 have been duly adopted. That brings us to the end of our session, honorable members. And as we've exhausted our agenda items, we want to take this opportunity to thank you all, honorable members who have been able to attend this session, but also thank all our staff that have been able to make this meeting possible, as the workers in the background who enable us to be able to have these sessions and get the work of Parliament of the Republic of South Africa done. We would want to thank all our guests that have been able to participate in listening and going through the bill with the Portfolio Committee. We thank the ministry, its leadership, as led by the Honorable Minister Togo Didiza, the Deputy Ministers, the DG, and the officials of the department who were able to take us through the bill and participated in today's meeting. Honorable members, we wish you well in the rest of the day's proceedings and the week ahead. We wish you all the best as we get this third term of our parliamentary program underway. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Goodbye, recording stopped.
Thank you, Memaso. I see your home. I want Gina anymore.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mam Chete. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, Dr. Masipa. Bye.